presents Class of 89.
Thanks for tuning in to Class of 89 on the Fangoria Podcast Network, where we take you behind the scenes of our favorite movies that turned 30 this year. I'm Natasha Pacetta, your host and vanguard of the vault over here at Fangoria, and this is our series on Puppet Master. Puppet Master is near and dear to our hearts because our first Fangoria Presents movie was Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich. The creator of the Puppet Master universe, Charles Band, served as an executive producer on that film and gave us his blessing to create an alternate Puppet Master universe. And to kick off this series, Charles Band himself joins me to talk about the movie that started it all, the original Puppet Master from 1989. Charles talks about Six Shooter's evolution from ninja to cowboy, working with the late, great David Allen, pioneering behind-the-scenes content, the all-new Blade-inspired movie coming soon, and much more. Before we get to Charlie's stories, I want to tell you about Fangoria Magazine. Fangoria Magazine is better than ever. If you haven't checked out the latest Fangoria issues, prepare to be blown away. It's now a deluxe 100-page quarterly edition with glossy, thick pages and articles and interviews that will never be published online. Ever. The only way to read them is by getting your hands on a physical, collectible copy of your own. Now, we can't give away what's in the issues because we want the experience to be a surprise, just like it was back in the day. But we can safely say you will not want to miss a single page. Head on over to Fangoria.com to learn more and to subscribe, and use my promo code CLASSOF to get 15% off your subscription. That's promo code CLASSOF, and go to Fangoria.com to subscribe. And I want to tell you about Deadly 10. From the world of Full Moon Features comes Deadly 10, the first ever live-streamed feature film series. Now you can watch new movies like Subspecies 5, Necropolis, Legion, Blade the Iron Cross, and Sorority Babes in the Slimeball Bolorama 2, filmed live right before your eyes on the interactive Deadly 10 site, for free. All 10 movies will premiere on the new Full Moon Features channel and Amazon Prime beginning this October. Go to deadly10.com for more details. That's deadly10.com. Now let's go to Charlie's stories from the making of Puppet Master. I read in issue number 83 that you were inspired by Trilogy of Terror. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Trilogy of Terror. Today you can access anything at any time, but back then, you know, no one knew what was coming. It sounded cool. It was a show on network TV, and it said terror, and I thought, that sounds good. And it was, I mean, that episode was just a mind blower. You didn't really see that anywhere, let alone television. But the whole Puppet Master idea came from a number of movies that I grew up watching. I had made a movie a few years prior called Dolls, which I still think is one of the better
That's with Stuart
movies.
Gordon, too, right?
Yeah, that was one of the, I made, I think, six movies with Stuart. So after Reanimator, we made Dolls and From Beyond, and eventually we did Castle Freak, of course, another good one coming back. So I had also made a movie earlier in the 80s, and this is unrelated to Puppet Master, but it kind of makes sense because I wanted to do a show with evil puppets, and I wasn't quite sure how to tell the story, and I was very lucky to have David Allen involved with all my movies at the time, who did this fantastic stop-motion animation. And I had begun to sketch out what these evil characters would be. I didn't have a time frame where they would exist. The whole World War II thing came later. But I already had, and with a sketch artist that I worked with, I already had a number of these guys kind of laying around my office. Like Six Shooter was a sort of a ninja guy with six, nothing to do, not even named Six Shooter, but the character of a ninja with six arms.
So that was
the, sort of the early incarnation of Six Shooter. Blade kind of looked like Blade, you know, with knives to cut people up. And so I was thinking it was the end of the Empire era, and I was it was going to be the first Full Moon film. There's a lot of history there. And I wanted to tell the story of these puppets, and I needed a title because I could not do anything, nor will I even think about a movie today unless I've got a title that I really like. It's all about, I mean, we don't have a chance. These are not theatrical releases, so you need a title and a piece of art that just people go, wow, that is awesome. Without that, you sort of have no chance, really. So I couldn't figure out the title, but I kept thinking Dungeon Master. I made this movie called Dungeon Master in the early 80s with Richard Mull. and it did well enough. And somehow that master just, I got to call this like, and it, I literally was like puppet master, you know, it's like, now it sounds like such a smart, back then I was just, okay, story about puppets, master, puppet master. So that kind of led the way to, and I've not told this story before, so this is a Fangoria first, but it led the way to eventually finding, you know, who the puppet master was, because the title was now not about the puppets, it was about somebody had to be the master of the puppets. So that, you know, we backed into the idea of André Toulon and World War II, and then the look of these puppets and the names, some of the names came from my association with David Allen, because we needed them to be sort of from the same cut of cloth. Mm-hmm. And I still had Ninja Six Shooter guy, and I forget, some of the other ones were really weird and not part of that era. So we little by little found material that we felt would be, that would unify them as, you know, sort of vintage 1940s puppets, because there was a real business back then. There were puppeteers around the world, and they did puppet shows. Today, that's sort of like, no kid will stand for that stuff.
They're all into their digital things.
Yeah, so, so, and then it was some, in one of these meetings that David and I said, well, we should just, he should be a Western guy, because the Westerns were, I'm talking about Six Shooter now, Westerns were super popular, and became even more popular in the 50s and early 60s. And I'm not sure exactly where Six Shooter came, but it was so perfect. And, you know, he's a Western.
Yeah.
So they were puppets that at that time would be credible as representing a Western guy, a bad guy who cuts people up, you know, a brute with a little head. So that's kind of how it all began.
Like of that era, you mean sure that they would fit into that kind of realistic?
1940s. Yeah, sure.
Wow,
sure.
That's so cool. Yeah, and you know, as you went on, there became more puppets. And
oh, who knows what we did? Puppets. It became, like, you know, it became as you know, way.
There's like 13 films now. Right. But David Allen, yeah, working with him was, you know, really cool, because I think you were a Harryhausen fan and a stop motion fan. Yeah.
Well, back in the 70s, it's hard to believe I was making movies, but that's when I met David Allen. And, you know, he was a Ray Harryhausen protege. And I had made by then three or four movies by 75, 76. And I just wanted to make a movie with a stop motion character in it. So I came up with this idea, Laser Blast, about this kid who's mistreated in school, and until he just finds this laser blast gun carelessly left by aliens, you know, and he picks it up and then he starts shooting up people. And anyway, but the aliens, again, a very small budget. I wanted them to be stop motion. So I met Dave Allen. And what's interesting about that meeting as it relates to today is putting aside all the movies we made together, like Puppet Master films and Dolls and others, and some of the Moonbeam films I made, like Prehysteria, which was also a big hit in the early 90s. Mm. What's interesting is that David wanted, all he wanted, he said, Charlie, I'll do this stuff for you. I'll keep the prices right. But I have a pet project that I want you to help me make. It's called The Primevals. And it's very ambitious. It's a 12-week shoot, which to me was like, okay, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, like
it's almost 300 stop-motion animation shots, which was, I mean, I think we had 8 or 9 in Laser Blast, maybe 15 or 20 in Puppet Master. But I promised him. I said, okay, look, we're going to be successful one day. We can afford it. So sure enough, in the early 90s, we scrounged all of our monies together. This was, for us, a huge project, a multi-million-dollar film. We shot 12 weeks at our studio at that time in Romania and the Italian Dolomites. We shot the film, and the plan was to spend 2 years doing the 280 stop-motion animation shots.
Wow.
And we got about a year and a half into the, turned out to be 2.5 year schedule, and David passed away.
Oh.
So, and that was also at a time when fortunes turned, business changed, the video market was softening. So I literally put Primevals in a big, expensive box. And and now, 4 months ago, it's been resurrected. We have a team.
Oh, wow.
And it's being finished. We should have it done by early 2020. So that's super exciting.
Wow, great.
And there's about 150 of Dave Allen shots in there. And it's it just calls up Harryhausen, it calls up King Kong. It's an amazing movie.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
I can't wait for that. Is that part of your Deadly 10
No, that's project? That lives in its own universe. So special, I can't add it to the Deadly 10. Yeah, Deadly 10 is a whole different deal.
Yeah, we'll get into Deadly 10 in just a second. Do you have a favorite memory from the set of Puppet Master? Do you is there something that just sticks out in your mind 30 years ago that you're like, I can't believe that happened?
I'm very blessed. I have a memory of convenience. So good stuff I remember. And bad stuff I sort of erase. Otherwise, who could do this for 40 years? And not really. I mean, there were moments in with the first Puppet Master film. Oh, no, that's not true. There are two moments that come to mind that were kind of cool. One is shooting the interiors at this hotel that doubled as the Bodega Bay Inn in Pasadena. And there was a moment where William Hickey, I mean, it was a cool cast, and Dave Allen was there, and Rod Puppets, and I just looked at this, and I just felt this is really going to be special, because it was a gamble. I mean, it was my money. I just basically divorced myself from Empire, and because that got kind of difficult, so this was the first movie that was going to represent the new Full Moon label. Right. It was also, we had a great deal at Paramount, so it was the first movie I was going to release through Paramount. And I just had that moment. It was with William Hickey. It was awesome. Thinking, God, this is really cool. This may actually be a big success. It turned out to be, as a direct-to-video movie, it was a very, very big success.
Oh, huge. So
I remember that. And the other, this actually, the other memories tied to the actual Bodega Bay Inn. So for those of you who've seen this movie, the original, it's a very famous opening shot where this bizarre hotel is on a cliff at the ocean. And for years, we got letters, how do we find it, from fans. This is before even email. It's like, oh, my God. And we would write back, it doesn't exist, you know. and it was called a hanging miniature. So Dave Allen, so he was a master of doing things in camera, not today CGI, all this phony baloney stuff. So what he did was, it's literally a hanging miniature where the Bodega Bay Hotel, I wish I'd kept it, but I did the best I could to keep some stuff because it was big. It was probably the size of this table. Okay,
oh, wow.
Big, beautiful model. And what the technology at the time, or what the technique was, is you would hang that miniature, you'd use a special lens. They went out to the ocean, they found that bluff, and the miniature would be hung closer to camera.
Yeah.
And it's lighting tricks, but at the end of the day, once they rolled film, 35, it was all in one shot.
Wow.
You know? And it looks great. I mean, it looks
like a
real hotel at the beach.
It does.
So just a little sidebar of that story. Some years later, maybe four or three, we were doing really well, Full Moon, and we were shooting the third Puppet Master. For 2 days, we were on the Universal lot because they had that 40s looking architecture, and we were hanging Nazi flags because it was, you know.
Right.
And I was sitting there, and I've told the story before, but the most brief version is I'm there with, I think, the director, Dave Dakota, and a few other people. And this fellow comes up, and we were visited a lot by other people on the lot, because it's the lot, so it's not just us. And he looked really weird and mysterious, and he said, I've been to the Bodega Bay Inn, and it was one of the greatest experiences. It's haunted. So I thought, oh, my God, either this is a joke, somebody, okay?
It's pulling your leg.
Or... you know, I don't know, this is a bizarre person, but he pulled out a photo of himself standing in front of that hotel, different angle, but it was at the beach. It wasn't the hotel we modeled after, it was in Pasadena. And to this day, I wish I would have, of course, I didn't have a camera back then or an iPhone, because I would have given anything, because I don't know how he did it, if he went into some pre-Photoshop session, but it was unbelievably realistic.
Wow.
It was a kind of a sepia photo. It was him, the younger version of him, the hotel, because I know the hotel, and it was not the Pasadena location. It was on a bluff in the ocean.
That's crazy.
A freaky story. Yeah, no,
that is really freaky.
Freaky,
I just
true.
Got, like, chills.
I know. And
wow.
I regret not stealing the photo.
There's like a Bodega Bay in like some alternate universe that he went to,
maybe,
I guess.
So maybe what we create does live elsewhere.
Wow, that's so crazy. Wow, those are great stories, Charles. I really loved about Puppet Master is that you created a featurette called No Strings Attached to go with it. And that was kind of the start of the Video Zone, which, you know, was great. And you were kind of the champion of this behind the scenes featurette before
the first.
Before people really caught onto it. And you know, you're still continuing to do it with the Deadly 10 that you're right. doing
Good
right
segue
now.
There. That's Thank my segue. You stole my segue before. I'll give you a little bit about the Deadly 10 and what that is and was. So, all right. So now, my inspiration was Marvel Comics. I mean, I grew up in Italy. Didn't get to see any TV, which was good. Didn't get to see a lot of American movies. So it was in the 60s, 70s, steady diet of Marvel, great music. And I was very entrepreneurial. So I always had projects and I started making small short movies and blah, blah, blah. I was actually in love with the pre-superhero Marvel comics where there was Fing Fang Foom and all these Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, Steve Ditko created monsters that populated those magazines that eventually became all the Marvel comics. So I was already buying those. That was like the early 60s. And one day I go to the only newsstand in Rome, because I grew up in Rome, that carried American comics. I wasn't interested in Batman and Superman. It wasn't my thing. I mean, I bought some. They were fun. But I wanted those Marvel comics. So I go there one day and I see this thing, Fantastic Four. And it was the very first Marvel comic superhero. And I thought, wow. And I could see the artwork. It was Jack Kirby. And I bought it, and then eventually other things came out, and I just fell in love with those characters. But what I loved the most, and I'm getting to the video zone, was as a young kid, and no internet, you couldn't go online and see stuff. You had no idea. It's just, okay. I began to realize, okay, I liked those books because Jack Kirby and Stan Lee seemed to be writing all this stuff, and Steve Ditko did all these other cool things. And then within the first few issues, at the very back, was something called Stan Lee's Soapbox. And it was the first time, in the case of Stan Lee, this many, many moons ago, the editor wrote a little bit about the bullpen, about who these people were. Jack came Kirby and Steve Ditko. And as a fan, I was like, oh, my God, this is like, now I understand it. They're the artists. Yeah, I didn't understand any of this. You couldn't go. So anyway, that stuck with me. So when I started making the early Full Moon movies, I even did it at the end of the 80s on some odd films, but I thought, you know, I want to do a video magazine that lets fans like me, you know, this new medium, you know, understand a bit how these movies are made, and I think they'll appreciate it. So we shot No Strings Attached, which wasn't the Video Zone. It was just a cool behind the scenes about Puppet Master. And I literally had an argument with Paramount, even though they were very nice, because everything was, this was VHS. So to put on an extra amount of tape probably cost them a dime. For the 20-minute, 10-minute, whatever it was, No Strings Attached, was a kind of a financial consideration. And they said, well, how are we going to monetize this? Whatever. And I said, well, we're not going to monetize it, but the fan, it's a fan thing. So I used my little bit of weight as this kid going, come on. So they did it. Then we had great response by mail. That's how you used to hear things. And we were about ready to make two or three more films. I forget which ones they were exactly. And I had one of these endless meetings with Paramount. And I said, look, I'm going to do this magazine, this Video Zone. It's not going to be 10 minutes. It'll be like 20 minutes. So there's even more tape. And I think the fans will dig it. And I want to put a little something on the cover. I mean, they were very territorial and protective about their thing. And video was massive at that time. So I said, it's going to be called the Video Zone. I'm going to do a little Disney thing. I'm going to come out. Hey, welcome to the Video Zone. Actors, effects, what's coming next, so fans knew, oh, Dollman's coming and Demonic Toys. So they acquiesced eventually, and that became, you know, it was every movie had a video.
Right.
So, and then many years later, VHS, poof, and DVD, and all of a sudden everyone's doing that stuff. So yeah, people at least have acknowledged that I was the first on the block to do that. So my segue, which is your segue into Deadly 10, is for a number of reasons and some good luck, we're for the first time in a million years, we're making 10 movies all within a very short period of time. And most of them are sequels or in the subgenre of movies I've already made that have done well. Like there's going to be a new Puppet Master inspired movie called Blade the Iron Cross. Obviously, I've chosen our strongest franchises and a few new things, not to just be doing repeating things. Some of them are pretty wild.
And this is cool because you're simultaneously as you're filming the movie, you're live streaming.
Yeah, so that's my gimmick. I'm heading to the gimmick. Okay. I'm giving some subtext here. So anyway, yes, this is the first time since the 90s that Full Moon's making such a lineup of films. And they're movies that I've nurtured for a while. Now we're in a position, thank God, and knock on something here. We can do this. But I thought, you know, what can we do in this new social media? How do we do something different? Sort of like what we did with the Video Zone, but even more extreme. And I came up with the idea, because I know from talking to a gazillion fans for years, that the idea of live streaming, not just an hour or an interview, but the whole freaking experience from the minute we turn the cameras on in the morning to when we shut down. So if it's a 12-hour day, we're going to have two live stream crews covering the essentially the making of. This is like behind the scenes before the movie exists.
Right. You know? That's crazy.
And my idea is not just for fans, but hopefully to bring more people to our streaming site. We are lucky to have a great channel on Amazon. It's the Full Moon Channel. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Prime member and you spend an extra $6.99, you can see an endless amount of exploitation movies. Not just Full Moon movies. We've licensed other films. And so that's a good thing. At least people know where to find us. Because when the video store died, people were like, you know, like The Walking Dead. Where do we find movies, right? Because they were used to going to their local video store.
And I remember seeing all of your movies on VHS covers at the video store.
We were, for a number of years, the number one independent supplier to Blockbuster in Hollywood.
Wow.
But then that ended, and that began a very difficult period of, you know, how do you make these movies and then get people to see them and make enough money to make more movies? So we just coming out of that period. Luckily, I was ahead of the game too on streaming. We launched fullmoonstreaming.com, which still exists. It's our kind of our baby, you know, streaming site. And I didn't want to, even though Amazon, it's all about Amazon now because a gazillion people.
They're just right there
but
anyway.
Still, Full Moon Streaming, we were out 6 months after Netflix launched, like 6 years ago.
Wow.
So people were, they didn't even know what I was talking about. I come to these shows, these conventions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you subscribe, you have to explain it because, you know, Netflix was 6 months old, but now it's all about streaming. So I just wanted to do something different and something to involve the fans. So when I went to Amazon and a few other places that I wanted to kind of get feedback from people who I respect, and I told them the idea, I got a great reaction. It's like, yeah, but they said, you should, some way here, the monetize word came up. You should, how are you going to monetize it? I said, well, I think it should be free because my Machiavellian plan is, let's say you're into Puppet Master and, you know, Blade is sort of Blade's story.
Right.
And you follow for 7 months making Blade, the making, behind the scenes, all the live stream stuff, the casting session. Every minute, if you have the patience on set for the days we shoot Blade, my bet is you're going to want to see the movie.
Absolutely.
And the only way you're going to see the movie is to subscribe and pull out $6.99.
Right. You know?
And hopefully you'll love the channel. You'll stick around. So this is all about driving traffic to the channel.
I love that. I love the idea of doing, like, most people watch the special features after the movie, after they watch the movie.
This is before.
I ask this to everyone of our class of 89 graduates.
Yes.
What advice would you give yourself if you could go back in time 30 years ago?
The quick answer for humor is get out of this ridiculous business. You know, it's because I've had amazing, you know, successful years and years that were just devastating. Mm. And the problem is, and I think now there's a stretch that will be healthy for a while. I don't think the internet's going to go down anytime soon.
Right.
But when I started, it was all about 35, and the movies I made in the 70s were the B side of a double bill. B meaning it was the smaller movie. So you would go into, you know, drive-ins and theaters, and you would be the B, and you, ticket sales, all about, okay, did I get enough of a share? Are these distributors honest enough? Do I have enough money left over to make another movie? Very difficult business. And that morphed into video, and that was a great stretch for a lot of people. Direct video, we did great, the 80s, the 90s. And then suddenly that great VHS was like no one wanted it because those DVDs came out.
Yep.
It was all DVDs, and the DVDs weren't great, and then Blu-rays. Now that died over all these, the local store you went to rent your movies, which is ingrained in people over 12 or whatever, where it was great. It was like going,
God,
look at all these movies. And we were lucky because we were lucky because, A, we got in there, but we were lucky also because we were credible enough that you would go to a store and the horror section would be, you know, Aliens and Terminator and then Puppet Master. So we were on that same shelf, and people began to fall in love with our weird, small, low-budget movies. And then that died. That literally, I'm trying to answer your question by saying it ain't easy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then when that ended really an era of people being able to, you know, if you were smart and clever, you can make a genre movie, don't spend too much money, direct a video, get some money, make another movie. And that disappeared. And then we now things are hopefully turning around a bit. The world's completely different. Right. Price of admission is like nothing. For no money, you can buy a setup and say, hey, I made a movie.
Right.
The trick is it's got to be like watchable.
Right.
You know, that's the problem.
No, it's definitely hard.
So it's,
but
it's,
you did
it's
it.
You know, if you're ambitious, you can do it. And you got to be everything. You got to be, you know, Barnum and Bailey. And,
oh, yeah.
You know. So
you gotta be like you.
So what would I? Oh God. So what? the question was in '89.
Yes.
Okay. So in '89, I wouldn't have done anything differently. Also because that was a boom. Those are the boom years. VHS and movies and 40,000 video stores across the country. No ripping off, no online people to rip you off, no digital thievery, you know. We find movies every day on YouTube, and we have someone looking, and they're hard to find. Suddenly, oh, Charlie, isn't that your movie, Fairy Tales, like a little funny, sexy movie you made in 78? Yeah, it's up on YouTube. Really? I thought, how many people have seen it just for fun? Oh, 2 million.
Oh.
So that's 2 million people watched a movie that I made and suffered to make, you know, for free.
Right.
So none of that existed back in those other days. So, you know, if you're passionate, then you got to do what you need to do.
That's no, and be like Charles Band and just be relentless. And
well, you got to be relentless.
You know,
like
and
right now, this is all insane.
Yes. Well, Charles, thank you so much for joining me on Class of 89.
Deadly10.com.
Deadly10.com.
Yeah, free.
It's free.
I don't know what more one can do.
And there's a new Blade movie. How perfect.
Blade, a subspecies movie. I mean, look at these
Puppet Master turning 30 this year. And we're getting a new Blade, the Iron Cross movie coming out with Deadly 10. So Deadly10.com. Thank you so much, Charles.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to Fangoria Presents Class of 89. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. And follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the horror content you crave. Class of 89 is a Fangoria Podcast Network original produced and hosted by Natasha Pesetta, executive producers Dallas Saunier and Phil Nobile Jr., associate producer Jessica Safa-Vimer, art and design by Ashley Detmering, sound recording, design, and mixing by Natasha Pesetta, music by James Malone, for Fangoria, Brandon Wynardi, Jason Koslerich, Rachel Wilson, and special thanks to Udo Kier.